The Fibber, McGee, and Molly Show. NBC and Tums bring you Fibber, McGee, and Molly transcribed. The show is written by Phil Leslie and Ralph Goodman and directed by Max Hutton. Fibber and Molly will be with you in a minute.
This is Don Wilson for Tums. Nothing quite robs vitality like a poor night's sleep. When you toss and turn all night, you just can't put your best foot forward the next day. So if you're one of many whose sleep is interrupted by acid indigestion or heartburn, keep a handy roll of Tums at bedside. Then, as soon as excess stomach acid starts churning, reach for Tums. No need to get up for glasses, water, or spoons. There's nothing to mix. You take Tums right where you are. Peel off a couple minty-tasting Tums and eat like candy. Instantly, Tums go to work to bring you wonderful relief. Then you drift back to sleep. Wake up in the morning feeling refreshed, all set to put your best foot forward. Get Tums to keep at bedside. Only 10 cents a roll, everywhere.
Hey, look at this in the paper, Molly. Boy, is this something.
What is it?
I'll read it to you. Story about a big financier. A guy that showed real clever ingenuity.
What does it say?
Says Harold Henshaw, Eastern financier, dies on eve of trial.
Well, that is ingenious, all right. That's one way to beat the rap. But don't you think it's a little drastic?
Oh, no, that's not the story. That's just the headline. He was just a witness at the trial anyhow.
Oh.
This guy was a ball of fire. It says Henshaw was known in financial circles as a man who had made and lost three fortunes within the span of 40 years. Just think of that.
It sounds like fun, half the time at least.
It says each time he started on the shoestring, and through salesmanship and ingenuity, he managed to build a small business into a fabulous chain of stores.
What kind of business was he in?
Oh, all kinds. First deal was a small tobacco shop. You've heard of Cubeb cigarettes?
Yeah. Did Harold Henshaw invent
Cubeb? No. He used to buy up all the tobacco that they didn't bid on. Got it cheaper that way. Then he'd pass the savings on to his customers in queen-size cigarettes.
Queen-size?
Mm-hmm. They're a little shorter than the king-size, but rounder and more fully packed. You probably heard of Henshaw's slogan, MTLFS, more tobacco, less filtered smoke.
Never heard of it.
Well, of course, you don't smoke. But look at this alfalfa cigar here. What does it say on the band?
Alfalfa Banker Special, 6 for a quarter.
No, the other side.
Henshaw Tobacco Company, Nicotine, Illinois.
Yep.
I never heard of Nicotine, Illinois.
Well, it's right on the Kentucky-Illinois border, and there's always been a dispute about it. Kentucky claims it's in Illinois, and Illinois claims it's in Indiana. But it was Harold Henshaw that made the town famous, and vice versa.
Sounds famous, all right.
But this success story has got me to thinking, you know it, Molly? This guy Henshaw opened up his first tobacco shop on just $300. How much have we got in the bank?
$17.76, and leave it there.
$17.76, huh?
Yes. As a year, it was pretty stirring. But as a bank balance, it's a very dull figure. Now, look, you forget the tobacco business. I understand the competition is so keen you can get your throat cut with it.
Oh, it don't have to be a tobacco shop, necessarily. It's just a matter of finding the right opportunity.
I'll give you an opportunity. I have to run a few errands downtown. How would you like to back the car out and drive me?
Okay, I can be mauling over a few big ideas over in my mind over on the way. Over. This newspaper story just goes to show it can be done. Henshaw done it, and what did he have that I haven't got?
$300.
Even so, I could raise the money. Who's that?
Tracker boy!
That's the old-timer. Hey, I wonder how he'd like to go partners with me, put up $300 and win business.
The old-timer? Where would he get that much money?
Well, who cares, as long as he's got it. He could put up the dough and be kind of a silent partner. You know, he could...
Tracker boy!
Well, maybe not a silent partner exactly, but... Hey, in here, old-timer!
Hello, Johnny. Hi, daughter.
Hello, Mr. Old-timer.
I was beginning to think you kids wasn't home. Tell me where you want these groceries set, daughter. This box is heavy.
Oh, just any place. There on the table.
Little box ain't heavy, but that big box weighs a ton.
My gosh, what'd you buy, Molly?
All I ordered was some bread and milk and a box of toothpicks.
Toothpicks? I thought you said loose bricks. Didn't have any loose bricks, so I had to chop these out of the basement wall.
What?
I better cement them back in, I guess, before the boss notices the hole. Speak a little louder next time, daughter. A favor like this could cost me my job.
Well, I'm awfully sorry. I thought...
Ain't much of a job, of course. A lot of hard work.
Yeah.
Groceries are heavy. Pay is light. No tips. You know, I think I'll just leave that hole in the wall. Maybe the boss will fire me.
I hope not. Well, I'll go put the groceries.
You're right, old-timer. You work too hard. And I got the answer for you, boy. How would you like to go in business and make ourselves a fortune, like Henshaw did?
Who, Shaw?
Henshaw. Harold Henshaw. It's right here in the paper. Started off with $300 and made himself three fortunes in a span of 40 years.
40 years, huh?
Yes, sir. And if he can do it, we can do it. We can have ourselves money to burn.
Well, I don't know, Johnny. Another 40 years, I'll be an old man. There's no use having money to burn if you're too tired to strike a match.
You don't have to wait 40 years. Henshaw made his first million almost overnight.
Overnight, huh?
Sure. All we need is $300 to start.
Johnny, it's a deal.
Good.
Meet me in the alley back of the market at midnight. I can get us a swell deal on a batch of beans, see?
Midnight? Beans?
$300 will buy us a truckload of navy beans.
Yeah?
We'll bring them over here, paint them brown, put them in jars, and sell them for coffee.
Oh, now,
we'll take the profits and buy a carload of Brussels sprouts. Pump them up with a tire pump and sell them for head lettuce.
Oh, no,
we'll clean up a fortune, Johnny.
Oh, wait a
minute. I'll run home now and get in touch with the bean boys, son.
Huh?
See you at midnight.
No, I'm not...
Oh, and Johnny, don't forget to bring your $300 in cash. So long, partner.
Zip. Oh. Come on, Molly, I'll drive you downtown.
There's more fun with the McGees shortly. How familiar are you with the American economic system that has brought greater means for happiness to more people than any other the world has ever known? Are you familiar enough with the facts to defend it against its enemies and detractors? In these times of world confusion, it's most important that Americans understand just how democracy works. We should learn about our history, our government, our traditions, and our economic system. In a democracy, every citizen is directly concerned with the economic system. The better it works, the better we all live. The more we produce, the more we all share. In order to protect and improve our economic system, we need to know how it works. So every American family should have a copy of the free booklet, The Miracle of America. It explains clearly and simply how we can all work together to make our economic system even more efficient. You can get your free revised copy of The Miracle of America by writing Box 10, Midtown Station, New York City. Box 10, Midtown Station, New York City. Ask for your free copy of The Miracle of America.
I got tied up in the bon ton, McGee. Sorry I kept you waiting.
Oh, that's okay. I was just roaming around down here, looking for business opportunities, talking to people. I enjoyed it.
Well, all I have to do now is pick up some bobby pins, and I'm ready to go home.
Bobby pins? Well, come on down the street here, Molly. You can get them at Quilby's Variety Store.
Okay. Why there?
Oh, that store is a good example of what I've been telling you about. Miss Quilby opened that place a few months ago, and that's the type of place that she'd have had a chain of them clear across the country and been a millionaire by now if she'd have been Harold Henshaw.
Oh, Harold Henshaw again. That's all I've heard all day. I wish you'd never seen that article about him.
I wish I'd have seen it 20 years sooner. When Henshaw was my age, he'd already made and lost two fortunes.
Then you mean at your age he was broke, like we are at your age?
Well, yeah, if you put it that way. But he made a comeback every time. Three times that guy started out on a shoestring and ran it up to a fortune.
Those fellas always seem to start on a shoestring.
Well?
If you want to get rich, why don't you open a shoestring shop?
Hmm?
You know, just sell shoestrings to people who want to start on one and make their fortune. There must be a market for
that. There's plenty of ways to make it in this business world if you handle it right. Oh, I don't figure on kicking off right today with a big chain of stores or anything, but if somebody asked me would I please take over their business for them and run it for them...
that happens, lover, you go right ahead.
Okay.
I'll even help you any way I can.
Oh, good.
So if Wall Street calls and wants you to take over the stock exchange or General Motors asks you to run their sales department, your little wife will be right at your side.
Oh, gee, well, thanks, Molly. I shall see that your loyalty does not go unrewarded, my dear. Here, let me open the door for you.
Thank you. Now, you see where the bobby pins are, will you? That's all I need.
Yeah, well, just as soon as I...
I'll take this chair and the two lamps out to my car, Miss Quilby.
A couple of customers ahead of us.
Frank, you bring the electric heater and the desk set.
Are you sure you gentlemen can manage all that all right?
Oh, yes, we can carry it. We'll get the rest of our stuff later. Excuse me, sir. Coming through, please.
Oh, I'm sorry. Boy, those guys bought out the store, didn't they?
And now then, folks, what can I... Oh, it's you again, Mr. McGee.
Now, hi, Miss Quilby. I'd like you to meet my wife, Molly. Miss Quilby. Miss Quilby, my wife, Molly. Miss.
Well, hello, Mrs. McGee.
How do you do, I'm sure.
Business is good, huh? Booming all at once.
Oh, I wish it was. Oh, how I wish it was. I really do. It's just terrible. Terrible. It's really terrible.
Terrible?
You found the exact word I've been looking for. That's just what business is, all right. Lousy.
But we just saw a couple of men. They seemed to have bought quite an order. They were loaded down with
stuff. Well, they're from the finance company. Behind on my payments again.
Oh, that's too bad. I was just telling my husband that running a business is not all peaches and cream.
Oh, the cream sure curdled for me, all right, I tell you.
Well, you don't have to worry about a thing now, Miss Quilby. I talked to my wife, and it's all set.
Oh, wonderful. You don't know how I appreciate it, Mrs. McGee. I can sure use a few days away from this place.
Huh?
Well, take a week if you want to. Molly and I will run the store, and it won't cost you a cent.
What?
Yeah, she was just saying to me a minute ago, Miss Quilby. Says if anybody wants me to take over their store for them and run it for them, she'll be glad to help. Didn't you say that, kiddo?
Well, but McGee, we don't know anything about running a variety store.
Maybe that'll do the trick, Mrs. McGee. I took a correspondence course, and I'm losing my... Well, my shirt.
Well, you go right ahead and take yourself a vacation. This'll be great.
Yeah, but McGee,
it'll give
you
me and Molly a chance to see if I want to open some kind of business of my own. It'll be kind of like basic training.
Oh, I sure do appreciate it. You can't hurt the business, that's for sure.
Oh, dear, I don't know.
It's like I told you a while ago. I didn't want to go into this thing till I found out how my good, loyal wife felt about it, but she offered to help me, like the good, loyal wife she is, and we'll put this place back on its loyal feet before...
We'll say goodnight to Fibber and Molly in a moment. We know you enjoy the pleasure-filled comedy shows presented every week on the NBC Radio Network because of the many letters you send us telling us so. And that's why we like to call your attention to the fact that these programs are on the air. Tomorrow night, we know you'll want to hear the amusing adventures of the Great Gildersleeve as portrayed by Willard Waterman. Gildersleeve always finds himself in trouble. And when you listen, you'll always find yourself in a happy mood. The same night you can play You Bet Your Life on the NBC Radio Network. Groucho Marx is your quizmaster on You Bet Your Life, and his ad-lib comments with his contestants make the program a must for millions of radio listeners. And remember, tomorrow night you'll also hear The Big Story with authentic dramatizations of newspaper reporters' news scoops, and Walk a Mile, the fun-packed, fast-paced quiz game with Bill Cullen as your master of ceremonies. Wednesday's wonderful when you listen to the top shows on the NBC Radio Network.
And just think of the merchandising experience we'll get, Molly. The wonderful training in running a store, all absolutely free. And someday when I'm a merchant prince with a chain of stores from coast to coast... I'll remember the words of Harold Henshaw, who said...
What time do you open up tomorrow?
Yeah, what time do you... Huh? Oh, 9 o'clock.
Go to sleep, Your Highness.
Good night.
Good night, all.
NBC and Tums, T-U-M-S, Tums for the Tummy, have brought you the Fibber, McGee, and Molly program transcribed with Bill Thompson as the old-timer and Natalie Masters as Miss Quilby. This is John Wald inviting you to be with us again tomorrow night for a look at the variety store business as run by Fibber, McGee, and Molly.
Laugh with Groucho and You Bet Your Life tomorrow night on the NBC Radio Network. Groucho and You Bet Your Life tomorrow night on the NBC Radio Network.